Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
D-Gen Nation fam, it's the D-Gen Nation podcast coming at you live, and we're here to break down the NFL DFS Week 9 picks for you on DraftKings. Ryan Williams here. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W, and I'm joined by the Godfather himself, my usual co-host and suspect, the Godfather himself. Yeah, it needs repeating because people need to know. Kevin Steele at FantasyRaf13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Kev, we got a fun one to break down for the people. Halloween edition. I see you got the decals up. I see you got us looking good on YouTube. For those who aren't watching on YouTube and listening back, you know, Kev is all about the designs. He's all about the creativity. He's all about the holidays. Usually we don't get him to come out of the woodwork to do the designs unless it's like Christmas or the Thanksgiving pod. But he went ahead and did something special for the people who are watching on YouTube right now. For those who are watching on YouTube right now. So, Kev, how you doing, man? I'm going to bring you in. Talk to the people. What's going on?
Not much. Interesting slate on tap. I think this is a really fun slate. You know, we kind of talked about it before, but, like, you have five games over 40.5 total, three games over 50-point total. So, I think there's a lot of different directions to go on this slate where I feel like in previous slates where it's been very, like, straightforward kind of, you have that one or two games that you really want to target, and then you're trying to figure out the rest from there. But we also have a ton of, like, it feels like one of the rare slates where you have kind of like most of the studs on the slate. You know, it's like at every position, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end all has like the most of the top guys on it. And so I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I feel like there's a lot of different directions to go here, and you're not just pitting into like having to go one or two different places.
No, definitely, Kev. It's a fun one. It's probably my favorite one of the year to break down, and there's so many different directions that we could go into. So, I guess let's not waste any time about it. Although, before we get in, Kev, as we usually do, you know, we'll talk to the people here. It's the DJ Nation podcast. Like I said, we're powered by the Fantasy Authority. At FF_Authority is where you can follow us on Twitter and X. And, you know, we're breaking it down on DraftKings for the people here. That's what we usually do. If anybody's just joining us, I mean, Kev, we've been doing this for so long, it feels weird to even say it like that. But as sometimes I see new people roll in, and it's great. We've been appreciating everybody rocking along with us so far for the 2025 season. And I can't believe we're at week 9, Kev, almost going to be over halfway in the books for the season. So this flies by real fast. We've been loving chopping it up football with everybody. We've been loving building these Millie Maker teams on the site for everybody as well too, and love to chop it up. And Kev, before we get into this crazy and exciting week 9 slate, talk to the people about week 8, man. How did you do? How are you feeling? And I know that we, you know, kind of, we've been getting close to putting the pieces together on the Millie. But, you know, Caleb Williams was the one to let us down this week. Those stacks didn't really come through, or last week, I should say. They didn't really come through as we thought. But we got a new week in the back. So how was week 8 for you, Kev? Talk to the people.
It wasn't too bad. It was had way too much Bijan Robinson, which I think killed everybody.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild that, you know, against what's been like the worst run defense in the league has been, and he just gets shut down. And really, the coaching staff to me should be fired for not even trying to really get. I mean, I think he had 9 carries in that game, which is ridiculous. Like, I know they fell behind, but still, like it's just malpractice to put Kirk Cousins in a spot where he has to throw the ball 40 plus times, and you don't even utilize your best weapon. So, like, that killed me. But I felt pretty good about a lot of the other stuff that we were on. You know, it's funny because, you know, I kind of got on CJ Stroud late, and he ended up I did end up playing him just because I felt like it was too cute, but he ended up going off for 300 yards, yeah. Scores against the 49ers. So that, you know, that figures. But either way, I felt pretty good about it. I feel like we did a pretty good job on most of it.
Yeah, it was a fun breakdown, and it really was a matter of, you know, if you could get into those high-priced running backs on a slate like last week where not a lot was jumping out the page at wide receiver, there wasn't a much that was jumping out the page at quarterback that was a slam dunk, and we knew that there were a lot of cheap and viable tight ends to be able to choose from. Defense has always been a one where you could pick and choose. So it was really just about getting those anchored running backs into your slate that were just, they were just jumping off. They were jumping off projections, jumping off in sims. And even as we do these breakdowns on Thursday, before a lot of the injury reports get solidified, before the Schefter, you know, bombs of who's playing and who's not come out on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning inactives come out 90 minutes before the game, you know, we still feel like we have a good grasp on what the slate is, and there wasn't too much news to break in a certain way, but it just was like value was popping off to be able to fit in these guys, and still we weren't going to be able, or still people aren't always trying to do that. Because we see, you know, what these projections, you know, are spitting out, and the sims are spitting out, and it leads to, you know, maybe a little bit more balanced approach than people are willing to go. But Kev, as we get into week 9, and we talked about how exciting the slate was for the people, you know, for the DJ Nation pod, you know how we do it. We always break it down position by position here. And when we start off at quarterback, Kev, there's so many great spots, not only on paper, but just that, you know, from a game environment standpoint, stand out, you know, not even above the rest. I can't even say it that way. It's just like there's so many spots where you could pick and make an argument for these guys to see how they can pop off, to see how the game environment can pop off, how the team stack could be able to pop off. And I think you alluded to it at the beginning, Kev. We have a lot of games on the slate that are going to, you know, creep up to that 50 total, over 50 total, or right around the 50-point mark. And you know, when you look at the state of the quarterback slate, I mean, you know, we can talk about it. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are going against each other. They're two high-priced quarterbacks. We know what happens when these two teams get together. Both of these quarterbacks, you know, like to make plays. I think there's going to be, you know, some talk about, are there other pieces from the mold that we can attack? But Patrick Mahomes is having an MVP campaign. You can definitely see that the Chiefs are wanting to show the world that they're still at the top of their game, even after losing that Super Bowl to the Eagles last year. And they just seem like they're on a mission. So they've been coming out firing. I think we get a way different Patrick Mahomes in this matchup than we've seen in the past, with this being on the road and them trying to make a statement. And then Josh Allen on that other side at 7,300. I mean, his game is against Kansas City, you know, since the, whatever that, what was that, 13 seconds, Kev? You're the KC guy. 13 seconds, Patrick Mahomes goes and just, you know, lights the world on fire there, put him on national TV, put the Buffalo Bills out of their misery. You know, since that game, he's been absolutely bananas in this matchup of trying to do everything. So two viable quarterbacks there. You got Justin Herbert, who's going against Tennessee, albeit on the road. Great matchup for him. Welcome back to Drake May. Matthew Stafford, we finally have yet again on the slate. They have a home game against New Orleans Saints with some good stacking partners for him. Daniel Jones is definitely going to be the talk for everybody this week. He's 6,200 going against this Pittsburgh defense that allows points in bunches to every quarterback that they face. Jordan Love's at home against Carolina. Jared Goff's back on the slate at home against Minnesota. Caleb Williams gets to take on a Cincinnati defense. We got Trevor Lawrence back on the slate for cheap. Jackson Dart is live in any matchup. I mean, Mac Jones is potentially a starter. We get just JJ McCarthy back against Detroit in that game. I mean, Kev, there's just so many quarterbacks that are viable this week. So it becomes fun to just even talk about from that perspective. I'm curious to pick your brain. As it stands right now for me, you know, I think there is a lot of merit to look at a guy like Daniel Jones with the way that Indy, you know, is just scoring every week. And I know a lot of projection systems and optimizers are going to have him, you know, in the mix early, and probably rightfully so, because we know that he can do some stuff with his legs. So there's always the chance of getting that work. It's going to be a good matchup for Jonathan Taylor, but he's damn near 10K now. And so it makes it hard to be able to build a good lineup with him this week when we see so many good spots and so many other high price players on the slate. I don't know how many people get to Jonathan Taylor. So it makes sense that people will go to Daniel Jones. I do have some interest in Drake May going against this Atlanta team at home. Drake May has quietly, you know, been putting together a really strong season. He has some cheap stacking partners with him. And anytime, you know, we can look at, you know, this Indianapolis team, you know, their implied points are around 26. And he just seems live every time that he's on a slate. So I'm going to definitely have some interest in him. I have some interest in Caleb Williams in that Cincinnati game. I would love to see what the status is for Joe Flacco, who's popped up on the injury report, because I think you could play the Joe Flacco side of that too with the way this Chicago Bears defense is banged up. That's a definitely interesting game for me. And then, you know, I always just have to do it, Kev. I have to look at Jared Goff in these matchups at home, and we know what Detroit can do. I mean, Detroit is just live to put up points anytime in Ford Field. He's only 6K this week. And if we can get Minnesota pushing the pace on the other side with J.J. McCarthy expected to be back, I definitely have some interest there as it currently stands. So right now I'm looking at that 6K range. I would love to be able to get to some Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, just haven't gotten to that point right now in the week with my builds. But that's definitely where I'm looking at right now for myself as a 6K range. Possibly if I went down that 5K range, I might have a little bit of interest in Jackson Dart. We can definitely talk about him. But Kev, what's standing out to you on this slate? Where are you going? How are you building your lineups when it comes to the quarterback position for week 9?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of talked about it already, but that, I mean, the Chiefs and Bills game, I mean, it is the one with the highest total, 52.5. It's already jumped up 4 points from when it opened. And, like, years past, so, I mean, we get this game every year. But years past, like, I mean, the Chiefs' offense wasn't nearly as good. And these games are much lower scoring. But I can see that being different this year with the way the Chiefs' offense is played. Obviously, Josh Allen can always keep up, you know. And so this game could actually go nuclear. But it's tough, especially if you go with the Chiefs' side of it, because – you know, with Mahomes being 7,100, and then at that, you have, you know, Rashee Rice, who's finally been priced up after a couple of weeks of being, you know, lower than what he should be. Now he's 7,600. So it makes it a little bit more tougher to pull that off when it comes to that game environment. But I think there's other games that you can look at here as well, because, I mean, obviously that one, you know, kind of stands out. But in terms of just quarterbacks this week, I mean, I think, you know, you mentioned Daniel Jones, but, I mean, he is – and this is – they have arguably been the best offense in the league through 8 weeks of the season. And Jones right now has been awesome. He's third in passing yards, 11th in passing touchdowns. He's also top three in rushing touchdowns as well. But he's been super efficient, ranking third in EPA for dropback. And he owns the fifth highest completion percentage as well. And, you know, I mean, he has been really solid. Now you get a matchup, and quite frankly, one of the best matchups that you can get. And the Steelers defense. Steelers defense has been horrendous, allowing almost 293 passing yards per game, 1.86 passing touchdowns per game, and nearly 24 DraftKings points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So, I mean, Daniel Jones makes a lot of sense at his cost. He's 6,200. And to stack him, it's not really that cost prohibitive. I mean, obviously, people want to get to JT. But Tyler Warren's 5,500. Yeah, he's more expensive. But, I mean, the wide receivers – Michael Pittman's still only 5,900, which is wild because he's on the season. He's been one of the highest scoring wide receivers this year, but he still remains $5,900. And then you have Josh Downs. I think he's also in play. He's cheaper. So it's a cheaper stack to be able to get to. And this has been one of the best offenses in the league, playing, you know, one of the worst defenses in the league. And then you have, you know, the Caleb Williams situation. Now, I will say if Joe Flacco were to miss, he's dealing with this AC sprain, I would be much less inclined to even want to play this game at all, just because I feel like that the Bears would be able to dominate them and they would just run the ball. But if Joe Flacco plays, who did return to practice today, so that is a positive sign. But Caleb Williams has been really bad the last couple of weeks. And I know in Chicago there's been a lot of talk about Tyson Bagent and bringing him in, and that maybe he's a better fit. I think that's a pretty premature. But I will say this, like, if he can't get going in this game, I don't know what game he's going to be able to figure it out in, because the Bengals defense is just wrecked. I mean, it looks like Trey Hendrickson's also going to be out. The Bengals are allowing 262 passing yards per game, 2.1 passing touchdowns per game, over 20 DraftKings points per game to quarterbacks. And so Caleb Williams is in an elite spot. Now, there are some things to monitor with that team, though, because of some injuries that people are dealing with. I know Roma Dunze is questionable right now. He was limited on Thursday. And then Luther Burden is in concussion protocol. So, it does make it a little bit dicey. And you also have DeAndre Swift, who's missed Wednesday and Thursday practice sessions. So maybe we get some value from Kyle Monongai if he were to miss. But either way, I still like that game environment. I think that game environment has the potential to shoot out. And then, you know, I think it's also a little bit more of a sneaky one, but it's the 49ers game. Jackson Dart has been incredible this year. The 49ers are missing a ton of pieces on their defense due to injury. And then, you know, so Jackson Dart's been live. And I also think it looks like Mac Jones probably starts this game. But we've seen Mac Jones be able to carry, you know, this team and be able to put up points as well. And so, like, I think if you're wanting to pay down, Mac Jones is 5K, Jackson Dart's 5,200. It's kind of easy to stack those guys as well. So I think those are two, like, cheaper quarterbacks that I think we can look at on this slate. But, you know, and then you also have the one we always seem to look over when they're on this slate, and that's the Lions, right? At home against Minnesota, and Minnesota is not a defense we should really be scared of. They have a really good, you know, they get pressure at a really high rate. But this defense can be thrown upon. You could also beat them deep, and you as well as, you know, you can run on this defense. So Jared Goff at 6K, I think he's also in play. I would be more interested in like a Matthew Stafford and even Justin Herbert, I feel like, but I don't love the matchups like New Orleans and Tennessee. Do they get pushed? Do they really throw the ball that much? Like, that's what would worry me about both of those two teams being able to be a viable option as a stacking option on this slate. So for me, I think I'm going to either attack the Chiefs game, I'm going to go with Daniel Jones stacks, and then I'm going to attack the Cincinnati game, and then I'll probably have a little bit of exposure to the San Francisco game as well.
Yeah, that's it. That San Francisco game really kind of jumps off the page. You hit it on the head, Kev. This is not the San Francisco defense that we are accustomed to building against, as they just have been dealing with injuries all across the board thus far this year, which has made it very enticing and very profitable to attack against them. And even without Camp Scatabu, you know, I think that's what's interesting to me with Jackson Dart is, like, how much does Brian Daboll and the Giants want to unleash Jackson Dart, you know, in this matchup, knowing that they might be a little bit more one-dimensional than they have in the past. Now, I know that, you know, your boy Tyrone Tracy, right, gets put back into the mix, and I know we'll talk about him at running back. He becomes an intriguing play. Him and Devin Singletary, one of the more popular ads and waivers for season-long leagues. But yeah, I think Jackson Dart is definitely going to be live for me in some of these matchups. Kev, talk to me about Matthew Stafford here at 6,300, because we haven't had him on the slate in quite some time, and we haven't had him with Puka, who was, I mean, literally looking like he could be, you know, offensive player of the year, you know, damn near MVP with the way his usage has been. And now we get them both back on a slate here against New Orleans, albeit, you know, could be maybe a tougher matchup. But I mean, this was an offense that we were thinking about, you know, pretty much penciling in, damn near sharpieing in when they're on the slate because of what they can do. How are you attacking this situation as it stands currently right now? And what do you think your exposure will be to Matthew Stafford at this point?
I mean, the matchup's great, but you just, like I said, I think your concern is, like, do they get pushed? Right? You look at the Saints or the Buccaneers last week in the same matchup against this team. Mm-hmm. And it really worried me that, like, because they didn't have to do anything. They played ball control. They ran the ball. They relied on their defense. The defense got an early turnover in that game. And you have Tyler Shook as the as the quarterback now installed there. So like there's just a lot of like red flags where I don't know if they really need to throw the ball a ton. And so that's what really concerns me is that with that game. And so I just don't think you really need to go there. I don't mind pieces of that game, but like a full on stack, I probably can't do it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's been a while since we've been able to talk about the Rams on a slate. And so, when I opened it up and saw that, I was like, damn, yeah, we get to talk about Matthew Stafford again. It is interesting because we know that Spencer Rattler got benched for New Orleans, and now we have Tyler Shough, he's 26 or 27 year old rookie, something crazy like that. So we'll see if this offense for New Orleans can be alive come this week. But yeah, that's one that I definitely have kind of circled and want to explore. And the other one too, Kev, that I think is a little bit off the page that I wanted to talk about was Jordan Love. Jordan Love is going against this Carolina team, tough Carolina team that you could, that is tough against the run. However, we know that in past matchups when, I forget what Green Bay applied against this Carolina team at home. And we know those are usually Josh Jacobs smash spots. So we have this conundrum where, it's a smash spot potentially on paper for Josh Jacobs, but they're also Carolina's defense also tough against the run. And Jordan Love, he's accustomed to throwing the ball, in tough situations and will make something happen. He could be 6,100, forgotten about. Completely forgotten about because he's right between Daniel Jones and Jared Goff and potentially Aaron Rodgers in that indie game that people want to go to. Caleb Williams is only 5,700. So I think he's one where I have to keep my eye on. We saw Tucker Kraft come onto the scene on Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh defense. You could stack him with him. The wide receivers, it gets a little bit more murky, but maybe we could even, stack Jordan Love, Jacobs, and a pass catcher together for this Green Bay offense that definitely, will be looking to put up some points at home to make sure that they get going in the right direction. Any interest in Jordan Love for you, Kev?
It's kind of similar, spot, right? Because one, it's actually – so the Saints are projected – our implied team total is 14.75 points. The Panthers are only projected for 15 points. I think some of that's probably a projection thinking that's probably Andy Dalton starting at quarterback. But the thing with the Packers is the Packers, if they aren't pushed to throw the ball, they will just run it down your throat. And also, right, if Derek Brown is out, who plays for the Panthers and who missed – a large part of that game against the Bills last week, like he has been the cog of how good that run defense has been this year. Like we've talked about how that run defense has been really good. And then once Derek Brown went out, you saw like there's the Red Sea's open and, James Cook went off. And so like if they can run the ball, that's what they're going to do. And they're not going to open up the offense as much. And so that would be the concern I have with Jordan Love. Is and that offense is that do they even need to really throw the ball?
Yeah, fair. And it's all a fair point. I think that's where a lot of people will be thinking like, oh, this is just Jam Jacobson week because of that nature. But I feel like in games like this in the past, even when the offense on the other side isn't able to push a team like Green Bay, especially when they're at home, I think there's something to be said when this team's at home, they just tend to get to that 30-point range somehow and putting up points. And I think Jordan Love is no stranger to that and accustomed to do so. So he's going to be one that I kind of keep on my radar as well too. But Kev, as we talk about the running back position, it becomes a real interesting conversation. Like we said at the beginning of the show, running backs were the key to week 8 slate, right? And so when you have the same kind of concept in like we don't have Saquon Barkley, right, but we have James Cook who popped off last week for over 30 DraftKings points. Jonathan Taylor, we know what he's been. I mean, this guy's on a hat trick touchdown streak right now, right, with three games in a row of three touchdowns or more. And he's 9,800. I mean, it's like, how do you try and get him into your lineups would feel good about that? Crazy that he's $1,000 priced over Christian McCaffrey. But we have a ton of good running backs, you know, at the top end on this slate. You got Jahmyr Gibbs as well as Bijan Robinson. Again, Josh Jacobs in a great matchup as a home favorite, heavy home favorite at 7,700. So definitely decisions have to be made. Now, I think we do have some spots that are starting to creep their way and open up at the running back position for some value. We talk about Tyrone Tracy. He's 5,100 with Cam Scattaboo being out. I think he's a great way to, you know, open up some value. You look at a guy like Kanami Vidal. Going against Tennessee, he's only 6,300. And with the workload that he's been seeing, if Hassan Haskins ends up missing, you know, he could definitely be a key cog piece for a lot of my rosters and possibly a lot of the Fields rosters too. That would be yet to be seen. We do have to monitor the Chicago Bears situation, you know, with DeAndre Swift being on the injury report, Kyle Manungai, you know, albeit a seventh round pick, this guy, you know, since the bye week has been just slowly but steadily creeping up in volume and getting involved. And we know how important the, or we can see how important the run game is to Ben Johnson and this Bears offense of getting going. You talked about Caleb Williams' struggles, Kev, and, you know, what's the better way to get those fixed? You got to be able to establish a run. We saw it kind of happen against the Saints, and we've seen it happen a little bit before the bye. And they kind of took a step back last week against Baltimore. So if we don't get DeAndre Swift, it's hard to believe that, you know, this guy, Kyle Manungai, is not going to see around 20 touches in this game. Roshan Johnson's also dealing on the injury report. And that's pretty much, you know, the state of their running back slate. We haven't seen too many other guys get touches outside of a guy like DJ Moore, who, yes, you guessed it, is on the injury report as well, too. So DeAndre Swift being ruled out, or, you know, if we get a limited, you know, bomb from Adam Schefter, you know, come Saturday night, early Sunday morning, that could really make things interesting on a slate like this to be able to provide some salary relief. Now, another guy that I was looking at too, Kev, is we really didn't dive into Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes all too much, is Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt comes in at 4,700, and seeing the way that he was utilized in last week's game against Washington, you know, he was definitely a centerpiece for getting involved. And this Buffalo defense is dealing with some injuries among their front seven, specifically on the front line, on the defensive line. And, you know, Isaiah Pacheco just hasn't been able to get it done. Kareem Hunt, he's, you know, a veteran in the league. He's been in this offense a time or two before. He just seems like he's a piece that they seem that they can lean on. And so with him being only 4,700 in this matchup where we expect a ton of points to be scored, he's one that I have circled for sure initially on a slate like this. And then real quickly, Kev, before I toss it to you, it's always Detroit, right? It's always Detroit when they're on the slate. We always have to find ways to get exposure to them. And while Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, is a really good play, even at AK with the way he's been seeing usage and involved, let's look at David Montgomery. I mean, he's only 5K here, and we know that they like using him. Regardless of what Jahmyr Gibbs is doing, this is a timeshare, and he's still going to find touches. And if he's going to see, you know, red zone work and end zone work at only 5K in a matchup where we expect points to be scored for the Lions, like, I'm always going to have interest in a guy like that. So, you know, I am interested in some of these low price running backs, you know, specifically Tracy, Kyle Manungai, Kareem Hunt, and Dave Montgomery, to possibly be able to pair with a high end guy, maybe even pair, you know, them with a guy like Kanami Vidal and just take both a low end approach and not even pay up at top for running back. Kev, how are you attacking the running back slate, and what do you want it to do with your builds this week?
I think first and foremost, I think it starts with Christian McCaffrey as my favorite, you know, pay up option. It's coming off his worst game of the season where he scored 9.8 DraftKings points. They just couldn't get anything going. I think they only had two first downs or something like that in the entire game against Houston. But, I mean, I have a lot of respect for that Houston defense. I think arguably they're the best defense in the league. But now you get a matchup against the Giants. The Giants have been really bad on defense here, especially stopping the run. So $8,800 Christian McCaffrey. Like, now that Jonathan Taylor is 9,800, like, he pretty much has to go absolutely nuclear for him to absolutely kill you. And, like, yes, he's done it. Like, he's coming off a week where he scored 40. Like, it's definitely in the range of outcomes. Like, I'm not saying that it's not. But, But like he has to like have to have like if he scores 30, it's not enough. And it's actually a bad play for how much you're paying for him. So those are things to take into consideration whenever you want to pay for Jonathan Taylor here in the spot. And so Christian McCaffrey is where I would start. There is a lot of injury stuff that we do need to pay attention to. And Isaiah Pacheco is not going to play this week. They go on bye. He's dealing with an MCL sprain. He's week to week. He hasn't practiced yet this week. So Kareem Hunt, I 100% agree with you. He's $4,700. It's a great matchup. The Bills allow the second most DraftKings points to running backs. And so, like, even though Kareem Hunt's kind of washed, he doesn't really have the same juice that he used to have. Still, he's going to get the high-value touches. He's going to get involved in the passing game. He's also going to get goal line carries. So, Kareem Hunt, $4,700, great value. Also, something to monitor, too, is Ramondre Stevenson has not practiced yet this week either. He missed Monday, or he missed Wednesday and Thursday. And so, maybe we see a Travion Henderson where, who else can you possibly give the fucking ball to at this point with this backfield? And right. So, you know, Travion's $4,900, and like, it was frustrating with Henderson because he actually kind of broke out a little bit last week, finally put himself out and had a good game, 10 carries, 75 yards, but he fumbled at the goal line. And so, like, it's like two steps, one step forward, two steps back type of thing. But that does open some value if Ramondre misses in this matchup against Atlanta, at $4,900. And so I like Travion Henderson. I think, you already mentioned Tajay Spears, Tyrone Tracy, excuse me. Which actually, I wouldn't play him, but not here. But, Tajay Spears is interesting. But, that's way too thin. But Tyrone Tracy, and we kind of forget. Like, if you go back to last year from weeks five on, whenever he was the starting – whenever he took over as the workhorse back from Devin Singletary last year, he averaged 14 carries, 3.5 targets, 80 total yards, and about 15 DraftKings points per game. And so at $5,100, like, this is not a bad spot where the 49ers do tend to struggle.
It's your boy, Kev. It's your boy.
I mean, Tyrone Tracy's good. Like, I don't think a lot of times he gets respect he deserves. And that offense last year was absolutely terrible. Like, this offense is so much better than it was last year. And so I think you have to like Tyrone Tracy at $5,100 and a defense like the 49ers, who have the 12th most DraftKings points running backs, that like this is not a bad spot. Like, talked about it, the 49ers defense is extremely banged up. And so, I think Tyrone Tracy is definitely in play. Again, another value play that you can play at $5,100. And then, guys are a little bit more expensive that you probably could tell a story about is Chase Brown. Chase Brown's looked like he is getting back to being a little bit more useful. I actually had a decent amount. He was somebody I played a lot of last week. He was like $5,400. I actually had a pretty decent amount of Chase Brown last week. Paid off, scoring two touchdowns. It was like 27 DraftKings points last week for Chase Brown. But incredible matchup. The Bears are not good against opposing running backs. A lot of the 10th most rushing yards, 9th most DraftKings points for running backs. And, in the three games with Joe Flacco, Chase Brown's playing around 60% of the snaps, running 45% of the routes. The usage isn't necessarily where you want it to be, 11 carries, 3 targets per game over that span. But I think there's enough upside here in this matchup against the Bears. And then, like you mentioned, Kamani Vidal, great matchup. One of the best running backs on this slate against Tennessee. When it comes to Vidal, like, he has been a true workhorse. He's averaging 16.6 carries, 3.3 targets, handling almost 70% of the snaps. He's been pretty good on a per-touch basis so far. And the Titans are allowing 120 rushing yards, 1.5 rushing touchdowns, and nearly 30 DraftKings points per game to opposing to running backs. And so that's third most. That's third highest on the slate. And so Kamani Vidal is extremely too cheap for the role that he brings. And so I think you just take advantage of that and play Kamani Vidal. I think those are those are kind of like my favorite plays. I think a sneaky under the radar play could be Travis Etienne. He's really struggled recently, but he's $5,600. Mm-hmm. But he's also played, the Rams and the Seahawks like the last 2 weeks, like two of the better, especially run defenses in the league, and the Chiefs in that stretch. The Chiefs run defense is easily a top five run defense in the league. But prior to that, we saw 21.6, 16.9, 22.5. Like those are, I guess, worse, better opportunity there. So I do think against the Raiders, I think Travis Etienne is also kind of in play here at $5,600.
Yeah, decent call out there, Kev. I think that that's a game that's like, it's so ugly that like maybe we get some fantasy goodness because these teams just play so ugly and both of them desperate to win. Jacksonville and the Raiders, that is. So so some interesting things could probably pop off from those teams. Kev, one that we didn't really touch on here before we move on is a guy like Kyren Williams. I feel like, you know, he's 6,800. In a home matchup against the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, it's one of those things, right, where it's like at 6,800 for Kyren, does he really have the equity to be able to put up, you know, close to what we would want, 25, 30 points from that $6,800 price tag, with Puka Nacua being back into the mix, Devontae Adams being there, and you know, Matthew Stafford has shown a propensity to want to throw it as opposed to run it when they get into the red zone. But this always is kind of a matchup. Anytime that Kyren Williams is kind of flying under the radar, I always feel like these could be his multi-touchdown games. So just real quickly, what are your thoughts on him this week?
I don't mind that call. I mean, typically, Kyren Williams has his best games, whatever, they are heavy favorites. And this is one of those games that applies to that. And so, I mean, he's 6,800, not overly expensive. Definitely needs touchdowns to pay off because he's never involved in the passing game.
Right.
But if he scores a couple touchdowns, I mean, he definitely could pay off here in the spot against the Saints, where they should be heavy favorites and should be able to build a pretty quick early lead in this matchup. And so, yeah, I don't mind going Kyren Williams at 6,800.
Yeah, no, just had to bring him up because of that nature of what the slate is bringing us. And, you know, it's a good offense to try and target points from. So, you know, we got to talk about all the plays that that encompass that. Let's talk about wide receiver. And, you know, as we bring up the Rams here, you know, it's great to see, you know, the fantasy god, the child of all, Puka Nacua being back on a slate, being back healthy, it looks like, with no injury designation, comes in at 8,500, right where he should be at, with, you know, being pretty much the third highest price, or fourth highest price, excuse me, with Jamar Chase being there. Bijan Robinson, that is, being the fourth highest priced player, but still, rightfully so, against this matchup against New Orleans. Before the injury, we saw him just breaking slates all across the board. It'll be interesting to see how the field attacks him. Definitely have some interest in Jamar Chase if we do get Joe Flacco in that matchup. This dude has just been seeing an immense amount of targets. I think like 54 targets is what it is since Joe Flacco took over. It's just absolutely insane what the target share is. He literally just walked into the locker room and said, "Joe, feed me the damn ball," and that's what they've been doing, and it's been working, you know, to their favor. So Jamar Chase in play every slate when Joe Flacco's at the helm. Amara St. Brown, you know, at 8,300, he's definitely going to be a guy that I'm real interested in, Kev. He's really performed well in these matchups against Minnesota and Brian Flores' defense before, you know, just coming off the bye. I think he kind of might get overlooked, but again, pairing him with the 6K Jared Goff makes a ton of sense. He's got 7 touchdowns on the season already. They're finding a propensity to get him the ball, you know, and get their best playmakers the ball, really. And we haven't seen this offense take a step back. And again, they're, you know, just at home. Everybody's in play for them. I do have some interest in Jameson Williams too, who's like under 5K, and I feel like in a prime spot to bounce back. So definitely Jared Goff doubles, triples are going to be in the mix for me. You know, when it comes to the bring back here with JJ McCarthy being back, I'm weary to play Justin Jefferson at 7,800. I might look to a guy like Jordan Addison, who's, you know, still seeing some decent amount of work and only 5,800. But, you know, maybe that work for Addison was a little bit more tied to Wentz being at the helm. Either way, you know, 7,800 for Jordan Jefferson or Justin Jefferson is enticing and digestible. So I'll look to pair him or Addison as a run back in those Detroit Lions teams. With the Bears team, it, you know, it feels like, I mean, Rome Odunze is the guy. He is the guy. He's Kalo's favorite target. They definitely have schemed a lot of primary work to Rome, and that seems to be working out well. He's 6,600. It makes him tough. We've been playing this guy as a one-off pretty much all the slates because of what his usage in the office has been. But at 6,600, I kind of only want to play him with Caleb or in a game stack that makes a ton of sense. Again, this whole Bears offense has been on the injury report to start the week. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Devontae Adams is 7,500, and you know, with him and Puka being right there, you know, it's $1,000. It's what is that, $16,000 to play the both of them together, which feels insane. But the way that they had been targeted in the offense, it could make some sense. Kev, as we open up the slate, you know, I think that there will be some merit. There will be, you know, you talked about the Colts wide receivers and them being all too cheap. Definitely agree with that. Going to be interested to see, you know, Drake London, one, if he's healthy, two, who the starter is for Atlanta, because he had some premier matchups that I'm interested in. Interested in Drake May stack, so he's going to be a potential run back for me. You know, I think Keyshawn Booty or Stephon Diggs are in the mix for me at wide receiver if I'm targeting Drake May. You know, already a lot of talk has been around Travis Hunter and what his role could be in this offense. He's only 4,700 this week. I know he's on the injury report, but it seems like he's going to be playing at least at this time. That's going to be something to monitor. You know, I think as we look into the San Fran side, you kind of mentioned San Fran a little bit when we were talking about quarterback. Ricky Pearsall could be coming back this week. Juwan Jennings is on the slate there. Going to be interested if it's Mac or
Brown. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Purdy to target one of those guys, but that's going to be an interesting one and stacks for San Fran and the New York Giants. And then, you know, what the wide receivers for KC are definitely going to be in play. You talked about Rashee Rice being priced up. Xavier Worthy's only $5,600, you know, and he still has enough explosive juice in him in this matchup against Buffalo, where I really think he could be in for a strong game. And the way that they've kind of spread the ball and the offense around, he could pop off for a couple of big splash pace and really pay off that $5,600 price tag. So definitely interested in that. I'm curious to hear your breakdown on the Indy wide receivers, Kev, because I think Alec Pierce has been, you know, kind of an industry favorite right now. He comes in at 4,600, but Josh Downs is back and only 4,400. That's going to be a fun one to talk about. And, you know, really don't need to get too crazy at wide receiver on the cheap end range if you're not targeting your stacks, because there's just so many other good spots across the board. Kev, kind of talk to the people about wide receiver and what's jumping off the page for you this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, outside of the top guys, like, obviously you always want to play Puka. I mean, Jamar Chase is just an absolute cheat code right now. The targets that he's seeing, it was 42 targets over the last two games.
Is
ridiculous. I don't think that, I almost feel like that has to be an NFL record. Like
if not a record, like what is, because he's got to be damn near close to it. And I don't feel like it's been talked about enough.
Yeah.
Over 50 targets in the past three games, which is insane to think about. So yeah, 40 some in two games is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Dude already has 70 catches on the year, and we're only halfway through. So, yeah, and so obviously Joe Flacco is absolutely critical if you're going to play them. There's probably some concern, you know, with this being a throwing the AC sprain in his throwing shoulder, but I would assume they just juice him up and send him out there and let him play. And but Rashee Rice is obviously a fantastic play, 7,600. You could probably make a case he should be in the 8K range. With the volume, the production that we've seen, he's been targeted 19 times over those first two games since he's been back from the suspension, scored no less than 23 DraftKings points. So the ceiling is definitely there for him to smash. I think, you know, I think I have a lot of interest in the Jaguars wide receivers as well, but I felt like Travis Hunter was probably going to be really popular this week because he's $4,700, but he popped up today with an injury. Normally it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but they're coming off their bye And it sounds like he suffered it yesterday. I don't know how serious it is, but it sounds like it was a knee injury. He still got into limited practice today, so that's at least encouraging that it's not anything too serious. But $4,700 Travis Hunter, but I think a lot – because, I mean, that has been all the buzz this week as how the Jaguars want to get him reincorporated and maybe even push him as, like, the number one wide receiver in the offense. So $4,700 against one of the worst secondaries in the league in the Raiders. But $4,700 Travis Hunter, and I don't mind Brian Thomas Jr. as long as he goes. He's going to get in a limited practice as well. But I really like this spot against the Raiders. So I do like both of those wide receivers. We've seen a shift for the Chargers recently, where at the beginning of the year, it was Quentin Johnston that was kind of the focal point of the offense. Well, that's changed over the last couple of weeks. Basically, Quentin Johnston has basically been utilized as the go route wide receiver, the guy that clears out everything. And that's all he's pretty much doing is running go routes. And you're having Ladd McConkey, who's, you know, come back to life with 25 targets, or 25 targets the last two games, which that's a lot, but, you know, it pales in comparison to Ja'Marr Chase. But starting to really get going. Aronde Gadsden has kind of taken over a lot of the stuff that that Quentin Johnston was doing. And so, but I do think Ladd McConkey is an interesting play at 6K. But Michael Pittman is probably my favorite play on the slate. $5,900, like I said, just incredibly too cheap for Michael Pittman. And he's been really good this year. He's been really good all year, and this is a great matchup. The Steelers are terrible against opposing wide receivers. We'll have the second most DraftKings points to wide receivers. And so Michael Pittman, he's $5,900. Like, it's way, way, way too cheap. It feels like a few weeks ago was it Drake London that was like incredibly too cheap? I can't remember who it was, but like, it just feels like a spot where this player is way too cheap for the role he has in the offense, for the matchup that he has. And people just overlook Michael Pittman. It's like, I don't think people just like really get all that excited to play Michael Pittman, but yeah, he's been really productive. I mean, the last 2 weeks he scored 20.8 and 23.5 DraftKings points. And, you know, and those were spots where they kind of blew the two teams out they played and they didn't really have to get pushed. So if Pittsburgh can push the Colts at all, we could be talking about a nuclear spot here. So Michael Pittman, $5,900. Again, probably one of my favorite plays on the slate. I think you mentioned Juwan Jennings. I like him as well. I do think it's probably going to end up being Mac Jones that starts this game. But either way, you know, you look at Juwan Jennings and really the pass catchers in general for the 49ers, but they've had some really tough matchups recently as well, where it's kind of, I think it's hurt them a little bit. And this is one of the spots that we get where, you know, no one's worried about the Giants secondary. And so I think Juwan Jennings could be a pretty solid play here as well at $4,300 at his price. And then past that, I do kind of agree with you with James Williams. There's been some talk this week about Dan Campbell really wanting to get James Williams even more involved. James Williams has even talked about it, but he's $4,800. You know, that is a, you know, boom or bust spot, but, you know, GPPs, you know, he's definitely a player that could, you know, help you take down a slate at his cost and ability and the upside that he brings. So I don't mind him. In terms of like cheap wide receivers though this week, like, there's not a ton that stands out to me that like that I just like feel like you have to get to this week. So I don't necessarily know that I really get down to a lot of like super cheap wide receivers, where last week, you know, I was pretty excited to play like a Jalen Knoll, Chimera DK, were two wide receivers that I really liked. But I don't mind DK again, but like I it's just not as good of a matchup. Where last week they were playing Indy, and Indy is terrible against wide receivers, where the Chargers actually have been really good against opposing wide receivers. So I'm just not as excited about that spot. And then I think that's kind of the gist of most of the players that I do want to play. As far as the Giants wide receiver, I did mention Jackson Dart. You know, Wandale Robinson's always going to be in play just because of, generally speaking, the target volume that he generally sees. But also Darius Slayton should not be overlooked either. Darius Slayton came back last week, and really, if you just look at his box score, it looks like he had a pretty terrible game, but he actually had a 70-yard touchdown that was called back due to a penalty. Or else we'd probably be having a different conversation about Darius Slayton, but that's kind of what he provides. And so Darius Slayton, too, I think is also a pretty solid play at $4,100.
Yeah, and I really didn't think about there being many two cheap wide receivers that pop off of the page, Kev, but you've alluded to Darius Slayton. You talked about Juwan Jennings. I honestly don't know how Juwan Jennings is under $4,500. Like it makes no sense. The usage between him and Ricky Pearsall have pretty much been the same, but Pearsall, who's been on the injury report pretty much all year, has been in the 5K range, hasn't wavered from that, and Juwan Jennings is still, you know, priced $1,000 cheaper than him. I don't really understand that. So if he's healthy, you know, he's definitely going to be one that I keep my eyes on with San Fran in this game against the Giants, where I feel like they'll be able to get their pieces involved. And then, you know, as far as a cheap guy, Kev, that we'll talk about real quickly, if Marvin Mims isn't able to go, you know, does this open up a guy like Patrick Bryan on the team for Denver? Denver's going to be playing in the early slate. We usually see him playing that late slate here. They're on the road, but it is a dome game against this Houston Texans team. And, you know, I think, you know, there's definitely going to, if Marvin Mims can't go, of course that means that there's probably going to open up more targets and pathways for Cortland Sutton and Troy Franklin. It was Troy Franklin, who's been an absolute stud as of late. But, you know, Brian's been, you know, the rookie who's been getting into the mix a little bit here as of late. We know how much the Broncos have been spreading the ball around. And so, you know, with him being, you know, in the 3K price range, that could be somebody who really, you know, is somebody who I circle in at only 3,100 and keep my eye on to be able to find some salary relief if we do get Marvin Mims missing Sunday because he's in concussion protocol right now. But yeah, outside of a couple of handful of guys, Kev, I agree. Like, there's not really much to pay down for this week, as there are so many guys in good spots here who are 5K and above, which is definitely a fun slate. We talk about that being enticing. It's heard about your favorite way to break down the indie wide receivers, Kev, with you being heavy on Michael Pittman. Talk to me about, you know, kind of feel like where you are with the Chargers and their kind of trio there. We have another trio that I wanted to break, or not trio, but we have another situation here. I got to get your, you know, your take. You say that Rashee Rice is priced probably inappropriately, that he should be a little bit higher priced than that is. Where does Xavier Worthy fall in this mix for you at being only 5,600? What do you feel like his role in this offense is, you know, going forward with Rashee Rice being back? Is he more so in the Jameson Williams bucket, where he's just going to be this boom or bust player that we kind of see who's more so fitting in, you know, best ball lineups and going to see those splash plays for, you know, 30 points, but has a floor of like 6 or 8? Or can he still be involved in this offense with a guy like Travis Kelce taking a step back? How do you feel about Xavier Worthy?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's always going to be in play, but I think there's going to be a lot more volatility to his profile because it's been clear that, you know, that they are forcing the ball to Rashee Rice, and then everybody else is kind of picking up the slack from there. I mean, and also, like, he's not really a full-time player. I mean, he plays, generally speaking, about 60-65% of those snaps. And recently, I mean, he still runs around 70-80% of the route, so, like, it's not that bad. But, like, touchdowns, he's only scored one of those all year. He really all year really hasn't, that's even crazy, without Rashee Rice, hasn't really posted like any sort of a spike week or anything like that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's going to be games where he's going to end up being, you know, what you need to, you know, take down a slate or something like that. Like, he still holds that type of upside. I still think you're probably going to see them if they can. But I do think there's a couple of big injuries for the Bills, one being Ed Oliver. Like, losing him, right, that is a pretty big blow to that defensive line. And so as long as they can protect Patrick Mahomes, then that's kind of the way that they're going to be able to push the ball downfield, which is where I feel like they best want to utilize Xavier Worthy, is in that downfield role. But that's going to be a pretty big key to that game if they can do that, because if not, they will just eat you alive underneath with Rashee Rice, you know, and Travis Kelce, where, like, that's kind of what they did against the Commanders on Monday night. Was they were just, you know, utilizing Rice and Kelce on a lot of underneath stuff. And so, like, Worthy is definitely still an option. I definitely think he's in play. But, like, there's a lot more volatility with his profile.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, Kev. I feel like we're still going to get big games from Xavier Worthy, still yet to be. It's crazy you brought it up that he's only scored one touchdown on the season thus far. It feels like it should be more, but he's kind of just had some pedestrian outings, and we've just seen maybe a splash play or two been made. And a lot of the Chiefs games have been off of main slates. They have so many island games throughout the year, so definitely want to monitor. But yeah, I think I might have a little bit of interest in him as a one-off or paired with even Kareem Hunt, and hoping that the plays go a particular way in that game. But Rashee Rice's profile, you said it, Kev, it's like so hard to be able to pick a guy like that when the guy on the other side is seeing so much usage. It's why I don't like playing a guy like T. Higgins. I don't like playing a guy like Jameson Williams. These guys, Amon-Ra and Ja'Marr Chase and things of that nature, they just see so much work that it makes it hard to be able to trust a guy like this, even in GPPs, because you're really shooting in the dark. You much rather would want to game stack those guys and get all of the work instead of picking them out. Let's talk about tight end, Kev, as we get close to being able to break down or finish breaking down the Week 9 slate, that is. And this is a DJ Nation podcast coming at you guys. We're live. We're on your podcast. We appreciate you guys listening back, listening live as we break down the Week 9 picks. It's powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow us on Twitter next at @FF_Authority. And we're going to continue to break down going into tight ends. Kev, we got the eight highest priced tight ends. I don't think seven of them will necessarily surprise you. Tucker Kraft, Tucker Kraft, he's the highest price, but he comes in at 5,700, and we know why, because of what he's been recently doing and his work and his profile of what we've seen this year. Tyler Warren, the rookie, 5,500. He's been stellar and great, so consistent, has a matchup against Pittsburgh, makes sense. Brock Bowers is back on the slate. George Kittle needs no description. Travis Kelce needs no description. Sam Laporte needs no description. Kyle Pitts Sr. Okay, that's your eighth highest priced tight end. The third highest priced tight end is Alondé Gadsden, the second for the Chargers. And I mean, this kid has been absolutely a stud. We kind of saw it a little bit, Kev, show its face in the preseason of what his involvement was going to be. And we kind of figured, okay, maybe if he has, maybe if there's an injury to this offense and this guy could really get going and get shown, that would come to fruition. Well, there hasn't been a significant injury to this Chargers passing attack. I mean, Quentin Johnson was on the injury report for a little bit, but he came back quickly. It doesn't matter. Alondé Gadsden has just made a name for himself so quickly, and we can see why he's priced at 5,300, your third highest priced tight end. It has a matchup against Tennessee. I mean, the tight end's just fun this week because we have so many stellar options at the top when we're usually been hunting, bargain hunting, and going to the bottom to be able to fit these guys. But now we have so many guys in stellar spots who are priced at the top. It makes it interesting to see what people are going to do. I have some interest in Brock Bowers coming back, off of the injury report, going against Jacksonville at only 5K. Let's not forget what his profile is. And at 5K, that's definitely something that we can digest. You treat him like a high usage receiver, right? In that 5K, if we were getting that, that's a slam dunk play. You kind of mentioned a cheap wide receiver earlier, Kev. It was Drake London and it was AJ Brown being 5,900, both in the same week, both going out and smashing. And so when we see missed prices like this on guys with good profiles, we got to attack that. I do definitely like Tyler Warren, especially in game stacks, even potentially in one-offs. But if you're playing Daniel Jones, you just got to just go ahead and click in Tyler Warren there and get him with the quarterback. George Kittle, being only 4,800. Yes, the receiver core is a little bit healthier, but just at 4,800 with George Kittle's profiles, whether it's Mac Jones or Brock Purdy, I think he makes a ton of sense. And obviously going to have Laporta, like I said, Jared Goff doubles, Jared Goff triples, it doesn't matter. They're at home. Laporta is definitely going to be interested for me. Because of all these high-priced guys, Kevin, in great spots, it makes it hard for me to look at the bottom to really feel good about what we're seeing here. I will say I will keep an eye on the guy that we mentioned on this podcast a couple of times, Colson Loveland for the Bears. If we do get Cole Kmet ruled out, which he's questionable right now, he's been on the injury report. He's already missed one game. He could potentially be back this week. Even if he's back, I think Colson Loveland makes some sense. But because of the way the offensive playmaker for the Bears. The way the injury report looks, it's like Colson Loveland might need, they might be running 12 personnel regardless with the way this shapes up. Zacchaeus and Burden, you know, probably more so trending on the fact of missing Sunday's game. So Colson Loveland at 3,300 would be one that I look at. But other than that, Kev, I think I got to stay 4K and above for the tight end position this week. What say you at the tight end position, and what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, you brought up Brock Bowers. It does feel like, I mean, it makes sense because he hasn't really done anything since week one. But if he's back to being 100% healthy, like we could look back at this being like a complete misprice. At 5K, yeah. Like, because, I mean, there was times last year, I think he got up to, like, over 6K last year, and rightfully so. I mean, he was phenomenal last year, but he's been dealing with this knee injury for most of the season, but, they finally sat him, and it looks like that, you know, he's back. He actually practiced in full on Wednesday, which is a very positive sign that he's ready to go, and if he is, it's not a bad matchup against the Jaguars, and so Brock Bowers at 5K does feel a little bit cheap and something that you can kind of attack early. And so I do like Brock Bowers. I think Kyle Pitts is a very good play this week against the Patriots. Honestly, like low key, like Kyle Pitts has actually been pretty productive, especially in recent weeks. And I mean, he's seeing a 21% target share, which ranks top five among all tight end. And he's running a route on 91% of dropback, which is top three among all tight ends. And this is a very good schematic matchup against the Patriots, who allow the fourth most receiving yards, the seventh most touchdowns, and the fifth most PPR, or the fifth most DraftKings points, excuse me, to tight ends. And so Kyle Pitts, I think, is a really strong play at cost, what he's been seeing lately. I think that you look at Theo Johnson with the fact that he has been just his usage. He's running 100% of the routes, top four in red zone targets. And this is, like I said, very beat up. Normally, I would not want to play tight ends against the 49ers because, like, Fred Warner, but Fred Warner's out for the year. So you don't have to worry about that. You already brought up Colson Loveland. I do think he's in play because the Bengals have been terrible against opposing tight ends. And when I mean terrible, I mean they've already allowed 10 touchdowns to tight ends this year, and the next closest is six. So, like, it is not even close that they're allowing by far the most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. And so Colson Loveland, and it was encouraging last week. He ran a season high 84% of routes last week. And again, elite matchup. So he is cheap at $3,300. So I think Colson Loveland, Theo Johnson are the cheap tight ends that I really like here. And then, like I said, I think the pay up options for me are Brock Bowers. I don't mind George Kittle, but then Kyle Pitts, Gadsden has been phenomenal. And like you said, like he really has been phenomenal so far. And in the role and what he's been able to do early, the points that he's put up, the target share that he's seeing, he's running almost 100% of the routes. He's playing almost every snap. And we saw it last week against the Vikings, where they were actually starting to double team Arondé Gadsden. Was surprising. And so, like, and they even talked about it after the game, but I mean, Gadsden, who's been limited, you know, like this has been a, you know, come on, but he's already top four in deep targets. He's top six in red zone targets so far this year. And so I think there's a lot to like with his profile at 5,300. Again, though, you just worry about, you know, being pushed. But I will say, I remember, was it week 18 last year? I think it was. Where like the Chargers that or I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was a Saturday slate game, but where it was that they were playing the Patriots, and I was like, oh, the Patriots, they're just going to run the ball the entire time. The Chargers aren't going to throw the ball, and they just went out and aired it out. And Herbert went nuclear. Ladd McConkey went nuclear. They pretty much crushed them. I think by halftime or shortly after that, they were pulled out of the game in the second half, but. Like, so I don't want to just completely, you know, write off this passing offense as to like, oh, well, you know, I just don't want to play anybody because I think this is going to happen because you have to get there somehow. And so, like, Arondé Gadsden's still in play because what he's done so far, I think, is for real. Like, he's kind of like he feels like a cross between like a Jimmy Graham and a Darren Waller so far. Just kind of the way he plays and stuff like that. So, He is
the Godfather throwing out comps. The Godfather throwing out comps.
Yeah, and so, like, but I think the $5,300 price tag is warranted for what he's been able to do. And so, like, I don't mind it at all. But like, would I? But like, on the surface, though, like, if I'm making the decision and I have the money and I get to play Rondae Gatson, I would probably still go Brock Bowers at $5K.
For sure.
Like, he's the cheaper option. You know, it would come down to ownership. Like, if Brock Bowers steams up and he ends up being really popular, then maybe pivot to Rondae Gatson, but or George Kittle just to get off the chalk. But I will say, I think Tyler or Rondae Gatson, I think his price tag is warranted for what he's done. But I would have more interest in playing Brock Bowers.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Brock Bowers is just pretty much, unless I feel, you know, at Daniel Jones, I'm going to play Warren. Jared Goff, I'm more likely to play Sam Laporta. And then if it's anything else, Kev, I'm just looking at Brock Bowers and figuring out a way to get him in my lineup at $5K. It feels too cheap. With Jacoby Myers being on the trading block too, you know, I think it's interesting when we start talking about, you know, the trade deadline and that thing coming in, how it affects some of these teams. And we know Brock Bowers is going to be a staple. And, you know, some of these other guys might get showcased or might not even play, you know, heavy because they could be on the block. So, one to monitor for the Raiders there. But we'll talk about defense and we'll build this Millie team and get the people out here as we're breaking down the DFS Week 9 picks on DraftKings. It's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at @FF_authority. Find us on Twitter and X. Kev, a defense. Packers are all the way priced up at $4K. I can't remember the last time on the season that we've seen a $4K defense, but yet the Packers come in against Carolina at $4K. So, you know, that's what people are going to be considering to get into the lineups this week. As we go down to the bottom, as I know that, you know, usually like to hunt bottom end defenses here to be able to build our teams around. They, you know, I don't know that much stands out on the page for me. I could be potentially talked into, as much as it pains me, some Cincinnati defense at 2,600. You know, just the way that they could potentially get pressure with that front seven. I think that they could maybe make some noise in their secondary against Caleb, especially if they're dealing with some injuries to any of their core pieces. So that one becomes a little bit interesting to me. I would like to be able to talk myself into some Tennessee Titans at only 2,300, but don't know if I'll get there all that much. So for me, you know, I definitely look in the 3K range for first and foremost. I do have some interest in the Bears in that same game against Cincinnati at only 3,100. I think I could be talked into some Broncos even at 3,200. They're a couple $100 cheaper just with being on the road. And then, you know, as crazy as it sounds, Kev, I might be able to figure out a way to play some Chiefs D at $3K. You know, Josh Allen is as much as explosive as this offense can be. They definitely have been got by defenses thus far, that, you know, so far in this season, with Josh Allen being able, you know, to put the ball in kind of turnover range. And there's been defenses that have been able to get pressure against them, and this Chiefs defense definitely could do so. So that's kind of where my head is right now. I think maybe even some Houston defense at only 2,900 against Denver, going against possibly a frazzled Bo Nix there in the noon slate at home. Going to be interesting for me. I haven't really locked into defense quite yet, but those are the ones that are sticking out to me as I try and build teams and see what I can fit in. Kev, what are you doing at defense this week?
Yeah, I think I really want to play. Like, this is one of the rare weeks that I really want to play pay up, because like the Rams and the Chargers defenses just stand out, and the Lions, mm-hmm, for that matter.
Lions,
all
too,
three of these,
yeah,
defenses, you know, but they're 3,900, 3,800, 3,700. Like, I'm not going to make it a priority to play them, but if I were to happen to have enough money, like, I would be thrilled to play the Rams, Chargers, or Lions. I think all three of those defenses are just in elite spots this week, but they are expensive. And so if they don't really hit, you know, or there's some cheaper defenses that, cause I will say, like, I am a big, like, just proponent of, you know, scroll down and just play the cheapest defense that you can find. But yep, this week doesn't really feel like that is there, at least in terms of like these super cheap defenses. Like, like maybe you could talk me into the Raiders, I guess, if maybe they can get pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence can struggle at times. And so like $2,500 Raiders, like I guess you could go there. But like I don't really love the other ones. Like I think the cheapest defense that really does something is like maybe the Texans. Because I know the I know the Broncos offense has been playing really well recently, but it's been against the Giants and the fucking Cowboys, the two worst defenses in the league. And we just saw, you know, Houston absolutely shut the door on the 49ers and shut down Christian McCaffrey and shut everybody down. And prior to those two games, like the Broncos had really been struggling offensively. And so, like, this game's on the road in Houston. I have a ton of respect for that defense. And they're $2,900. Like, I think that's the spot where, like, I feel the best about playing a defense. That sub-3K, I do like the Texans. If Joe Flacco were to miss, I'd probably just lock button in the Bears because we've seen the Jake Browning effect enough to know that that this is a good how that would turn out. And so the Bears would become in play if that happened. I think the Jaguars are also an interesting defense at $3,300 here. As and honestly, the Jaguars' defense has actually been pretty good. They do a very good job of creating turnovers. They create a turnover on 17.7% of offensive drives. They've also limited passing attacks to the sixth lowest completion percentage and ranked 17th in yards per attempt. They've also actually done a pretty decent job limiting the rushing as well, only at 3.9 yards per carry, which is the eighth lowest rate in the league. So this Jaguars defense has actually played pretty well so far this year. And then you get a you factor in you're playing Geno Smith that has turned the ball over at a league leading 10 times already. He's also been sacked at the ninth highest rate. And so I do think that, you know, the Jaguars as well, you know, is, you know, they're not as expensive. They're $3,300. I think that's the other defense that I really like.
Yeah. Good calls across the board, Kev. I think, we'll see what happens in this Raiders and Jacksonville game. You know, it's an ugly game across the board. So, I could see a lot of broken plays there, but definitely some playmakers on Jacksonville's side that warrants them at 3,300 to be able to be in play. But Texans, the one that I think we got to keep an eye on at 2,900 for sure as we start to build early on. Kev, that's going to do it for the week 9 slate as far as the breakdown goes. But we got the Millie Maker team to build for the people, and you know how we do. We go back and forth, pick these pieces that we're going to put into the Millie Maker lineup as we look at the week 9 Millie Maker. 761,764 entries. No big deal. We got this in the back. We got to ship this one for the DJ Nation fam. So Kev, as I built out the team last week or started out the build last week for us, why don't you start out the build and see what we're going to be doing for the people for the week 9 Millie Maker team.
Go Daniel Jones.
I didn't think it would be that hard for you to start the team off, but I guess, you know, a lot of ways to go on this slate, so I don't blame you, Kev. Let's pair him with the tight end Tyler Warren and get that going.
Michael Pittman.
Of course, you talked about them all breakdown. It'd be tough to not even fit him in. Let's go into running back here, and let's just get Tyrone Tracy in there at 5,100. Save some salary still.
All right, at least 5,460. Let's just lock it. Let's just see how this plays without playing one of the high price running backs. I'll go Kamani Vidal.
Okay. Well, let's see what we can do here. Get a little interesting. Because I feel like if we're not playing, if we're playing it that route with the two cheaper running backs on the slate, I feel like we should get a high profile wide receiver in this lineup to kind of make up for that. Let's see what we could do with St. Brown for right now, and we'll play around with it a little bit. But put in St. Brown at 8,300.
Plug in Juwan Jennings.
Okay, so Jennings comes in at 4,300. So if we went Texans D, we have 5,500 for the flex.
I feel like we could do that, or because I kind of want some piece of that Kansas City game. Like, I don't know if like you wanted to play, you kind of talked about him, but maybe Xavier Worthy. He's probably going to be pretty low owned. I mean, it still would leave $2,800. I mean, I don't really care at that point. You know, you plug in someone like the Raiders or, you know, even the Giants who can get pressure on a quarterback. You could go something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Do we like Worthy or do we like Hunt and maybe up somewhere a little bit?
I'm cool with that. We can go Kareem Hunt in the flex.
We could actually up defense if we did that. Because we have $800. Kind of feels crazy to do like Lions D with St. Brown, but I mean, or we could do Patriots D against Atlanta, 3,600. I'm cool with either one of those defenses, the way that the roster is built.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else that makes sense. I mean, I'm cool with just throwing the Lions defense in there, I guess, at 3,700. Or either, I would say either the Lions or Jags would be the two defenses that'd play.
Yeah, we'll ride the Lions for now. Use all that salary. Could still pivot and play around with it. But as it currently stands, we got our Millie Maker team built for the DGen Nation fam. We got Daniel Jones, double stacked him with Michael Pittman and Tyler Warren. Our running backs, Tyrone Tracy, Kanami Vidal. We got St. Brown and Juwan Jennings in this lineup, and then Kareem Hunt in the flex with the Lions D that uses all this salary, and that is the Millie Maker lineup. That's a very interesting lineup that we built there, Kev. So let's see what it does, and obviously we reserved the right to be able to make pivots based on some news, and we'll be sure to share that with you if we do change it up. But as it currently stands for the Thursday night pod, we're going to submit this into the Millie Maker team. And we're going to put a cap on the Week 9 breakdown. Kev, any final words for the people before we sign out here on this Halloween edition of the DJ Nation podcast?
Be safe tomorrow when you go trick-or-treating. And yes, it very well could be Loveland's breakout week. I think it is Loveland's breakout week. But yeah, I think that... yeah, go out, have fun tomorrow. If you are of age, go out and drink responsibly. I feel like an old man now saying that. But get an Uber. You know, don't drink and drive, and have fun. We get a rare, Friday Halloween. And if not, take kids out. You know, have fun. But I love this slate. Like I said, I think that's a really fun slate. There's so many different directions to go on this slate, and so it feels a little bit more like a multiple lineup type week, max multi-entry type week versus, being more heavy on single entry, three entry max, which I typically have been.
Definitely. And Kevin, no better way for the DJ Nation podcast to try and start a whole nother pod as we get to sign off. But yeah, it's something we could have talked about at the beginning. But yeah, I agree. It's definitely a slate where I'm going to open up a little bit of my exposures to be able to build lineups to get some exposures across the field because of the options that we have here. So I might have to look at some 20 max and see what that's coming in as we get the state of the slate to unfold here towards Saturday. I feel like, towards Saturday night, there's still been a lot of fun contests to be able to take advantage of. So we want to keep out for that. And something to be said too, Kev, as we're kind of getting to the halfway point for the people, since you kind of opened the box, is that we can always look at these lineups, come Sunday morning as well too. I think a lot of the people who play casually and try and get in, feel like, okay, you might need to reserve your lineups or you don't want to miss out on the contest or whatever. But you've alluded to it time and time again, as we've done the show for multiple years now, there are a lot of times when, it gets to be 10:30, it gets to be 11 o'clock on that Sunday. And like the $3.20 max goes from, on a 100,000 player, 100,000 player pool to, you know, a 20,000 player pool with the payout still being nice. You could still do a $3, you know, 20 entry max. You could still do, you know, the $1, 20 entry max. You could still get into, you know, whatever it is, like the $15, the $20, you know, okay, the Millie maker, it might still be open, but they'll open up a new contest that has a little bit lower of an entry field, and those are ways to, you know, kind of take advantage. So, you know, definitely be looking at your contest selection as we talk. You know, it's Halloween, but we're going to be getting into a new month. It's going to be November when the slates break down. So we still have a lot of football left. We still want to be smart with the way that we are, you know, managing our bankrolls and getting into some contests. And don't feel like you have to lock things in as far as the contests go right now. There are some fun things that opened up as it gets closer to lock, and some smaller fields too. So always keep an eye out on that stuff. And that's what the DJ Nation is here for, to be able to point some things out like that to you guys. So with all that being said, we hope that, again, Kev said it the best, you know, you guys enjoy Halloween responsibly. We'll catch you for November as we go in next week, break it down a week 10 slate. I can't believe we're 10 weeks in. We still got a lot of fun things planned for you guys for this year for the DGEN Nation podcast. We're going to be getting into one of Kev's favorite slates of the year, one of my favorite slates of the year, of the Thanksgiving pod. We're going to have a lot of more island games and things like that, which will make some fun, interesting breakdowns as well too, and still a lot of money to be had on the table. So don't be discouraged if you haven't shipped to GPP yet, if you haven't had a good season of ROI yet. We're only on the front half of this, and we're going to be coming at you on the back half. For the Godfather himself, you guys know him as Kevin Steele. You guys know him on Twitter and X at FantasyRaf13 is where you can find him. Myself, Ryan Williams at RyanAlexander_W is where you can find me on Twitter and X. It's been the DGEN Nation podcast, breaking down the NFL DFS Week 9 picks for you. It's powered by the Fantasy Authority. We'll catch you guys next time for the Week 10 breakdown. Until then, you know what to do in Week 9. Get this money. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.